So what is Black Tuesday? We'll share that story first. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the second day of June, and in several states, it's also primary day. If the economy is so good, why did Wells Fargo do what they did to auto dealers? Well, maybe it's because they heard this about our GDP for the second quarter, and we'll share those numbers with you. Congress, the president, and civil unrest, and yes, that too, has a relationship to our economy. We'll check on the Wall Street Report and the economics of African Americans, and the numbers are frightening. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you again, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. For those of you in primary states, hope you voted. Let's get into it, shall we? If you are not a regular user of social media, you may have missed what has become Blackout Tuesday, and several retail centers are helping to spread the word. The idea of this protest, which was thought up by workers in the music industry, is to pause business for the day to show solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement after the death of George Floyd. Beginning early this morning, brands and retailers from around the world, including fast fashion giant Boohoo and Rihanna's Savage Xfinity, jumped on the Blackout Tuesday project, sharing the black square on their Instagram feeds with the hashtag Blackout Tuesday. At the time of writing this news, there were over 7 million posts listed under the hashtag on the platform. LA-based denim brand Lucky Brand took it a step further and issued a statement yesterday confirming that it would be closing its website, offices, and stores today as well. The brand has about 250 stores in North America. Lucky Brand says it's encouraging its workers to use the day to demonstrate peacefully, work with their local community, or volunteer with a local organization to help clean up the destruction caused by the looting in Los Angeles neighborhoods. That is Blackout Tuesday. You know, we keep hearing that the economy is going to, at any minute, roar back. So, if that's the case, why did Wells Fargo decide to stop lending money to car dealerships? People with knowledge of the situation told CNBC Today that Wells Fargo, one of the biggest lenders for new and used car purchases in the United States, sent letters to hundreds of independent auto dealerships last month, telling them that the San Francisco-based company was dropping them as a customer. A Wells Fargo spokeswoman confirmed that the bank, which only makes auto loans through car dealerships, will no longer accept loan applications from most independent shops. Independent dealerships typically sell used cars, unlike franchise dealerships that focus on new vehicles from specific manufacturers. According to the spokeswoman, the bank had an obligation to review their business practices in light of the economic uncertainty presented by COVID-19 and have let the majority of their independent dealer customers know that they will suspend accepting applications from them. The move follows Wells Fargo's retrenchment from parts of the mortgage market as the coronavirus pandemic took hold in the United States. The bank is operating under a dozen consent orders tied to its 2016 fake account scandal, and one of those orders from the Federal Reserve limits the bank's ability to grow its balance sheet until it fixes compliance shortcomings. Well, perhaps Wells Fargo is watching the tea leaves as it pertains to the national GDP. According to an economic tracker at the Atlanta Fed, the projection is that the U.S. GDP will fall, get this, by 53% in this, the second quarter. Let that sink in for just a moment. The data that was released just yesterday shows that manufacturing in the U.S. remains firmly in decline and will weigh on investment and consumption. That data from the Institute for Supply Manufacturing showed just 43% of firms are seeing any sort of expansion in May. Extrapolating from that data, the Atlanta Fed anticipates personal consumption expenditures, that's you and I, spending money, that makes up 68% of the nation's gross domestic product. They expect that to fall by 58% in the April to June period. Gross private domestic investment, which accounts for 17% of GDP, is now projected to slide at 62.6%. All of those projections are, of course, open to change, but those numbers point to a long and protracted recovery and not the V-shaped recovery that was once considered solid. Meanwhile, the Congressional Budget Office says the recovery from the pandemic could take up to 10 years. The CBO warns that a new analysis of the pandemic will reduce cumulative economic output over the next 10 years by $7.9 trillion, or 3% of GDP during the decade, compared to its projections from just January. Without accounting for inflation, the damage totals $15.7 trillion, or 5.3% of the GDP. The CBO went on to say that recent legislation, which includes more than $2 trillion in stimulus, will only partially mitigate the economic fallout caused by the pandemic. And yes, there is a but. The CBO did caution that there is an unusual high degree of uncertainty around its forecasts because the course of the pandemic is unknown and it's not clear how the economy will respond. But what about the business side of the protests going on in the United States? The answer is that it very well may complicate things between consumers, the White House, and Congress, meaning it will likely strain a political standoff between the White House and Congress over whether to continue emergency economic assistance for millions of Americans. Policymakers must decide in the coming weeks whether to extend emergency unemployment benefits for more than 25 million Americans. They face growing calls to provide billions of dollars in assistance for cities and states, even as President Trump increases feuds with governors and mayors. If lawmakers do not act, about $1 trillion in emergency federal aid used to stabilize the economy will disappear in the next quarter. Economists warn that the expiring aid risks creating a fiscal cliff that, if not addressed by lawmakers, could arrest or reverse a rebound. Listen to that. Arrest or reverse. That is something to consider. Meanwhile, Wall Street saw no doom and gloom as the markets advanced today. The S&P 500 gained 0.8, reaching its session high with less than 30 minutes left in the session. Today's gains put the S&P 500 up by more than 40% from its late March low. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 267 points, more than 1%, and the NASDAQ advanced by 0.6. Once again, stocks tied to the reopening of states outperformed. Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America all rose at least 0.9. Gap climbed 7.7%, and Southwest Airlines gained 2.6%. Big tech lagged the broader market for most of the day, but eked out slight gains in the final minutes of trading. Facebook, Netflix, and Apple all closed at least 0.3 higher, while Alphabet gained 0.5, and Amazon advanced by 0.1. Even with the gains, we have got a long way to go to climb back to where we were in the first week of March. And finally, there is this, and I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to share with you, because this goes to the root of what we're seeing with regard to our cities aflame all over the United States. You know, the protests that are sweeping U.S. cities over the videotaped death of an unarmed black man at the hands of police are underscoring other grim realities of racial disparity in America. Simply put, African Americans lag other groups by nearly every economic measure. You ready? Let's go. In Minneapolis, where George Floyd's death set off the protests, the median income of a black household is about a third of the $77,000 a year a white household takes in. Nationwide, black households earn about two-thirds of the median white household. In addition to the lack of buying parity, the gap also means African Americans have less money to help shield against illness and other disasters. The coronavirus pandemic is killing black people at a rate 2.4 times that of white people. And what about wealth? The median white family had a $171,000 net worth in 2016. That was 10 times that of a median black household, which stood at $17,100. And jobs? Black workers have seen a higher unemployment rate than other races or ethnicities for decades. It reached 16.7% in April during the pandemic's catastrophic job losses. Even at its low, in August of last year, the black unemployment rate was 2 percentage points above white Americans. White folks, 3.4% nationally. Black Americans was 5.4%. And finally, all of this adds up to crushing poverty. Almost 21% of black people in the United States live below the poverty level. That's a rate more than double that of white people. Long-term poverty and the restrictions that often go with it, being born in a poor neighborhood, lacking access to quality education, among others, can stay with an individual for life. While we mourn the loss of life and the loss of property, perhaps now you can understand the frustration and the anger. Well, that's a wrap for today's Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us associated with this daily project, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.